On November 6th, let's raise our voices louder than ever. With our vote, our lives depend on it.
For our rights as Americans.
For more jobs and better wages.
Healthcare that truly cares for our families.
Police that respect us as individuals and place value on our lives.
Judges who uphold the law, respect our civil and human rights. The best way to speak up is to step up and vote.
On November 6th, vote for our freedoms, our protections, our truth.
Our lives depend on it.
Paid for by NAACP. NAACP.org.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. Wow. Sounding good this morning. You guys should have heard me a few days ago. Oh, my goodness. Well, even up to yesterday. And still today. Oh, so I'm going to have to call on, I think, my co-person. My co-host, losing it here. No, take that back. I'm not really. Step in today and help me out here. Let me see if I can get to the switchboard. Woo. Wow. 1 second. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia. Let's see. Hello.
Morning.
Cynthia?
How are you?
Okay. Yeah. Can speak just a little louder. You're kind of low.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
It might be just the weather or something. I don't know. It just seems like you're a little low. I don't know what else to do. Okay. Audience, I hope you can hear us this morning. We are in a tropical storm, so it may work and it may not. Say something, Cynthia, again, please.
Good morning.
Okay. Still a little
low.
Can
you hear me
okay? What's going on? It's low, but we're going to go on anyway.
Oh, I hear you fine, so you're not low, that's for sure. You're coming across nice and clear and loud, so you're good on your end.
Okay, so they probably can hear you on your end too as well. All right, then. Very good. All right, so what we'll do, good morning again, audience. Just want to say thank you so very much for joining us this morning. I want to apologize right up front. I've been having cough, and so it'll come on when I'm talking, so I'm gonna try my best to monitor it and not, you know, be irritating here on the radio. How you doing this morning, Cynthia?
I'm fine, all is well.
Okay, would you give us a prayer this morning, please?
Absolutely. Dear Father God, we come before you, trusting you, believing you, knowing that you are in control. Thanking you, Father God, for healing for Dr. Fletcher in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for what you have done, what you continue to do, for the lives that you spared in North Carolina. We pray for the families who lost loved ones as a result of this storm. Father God, we trust in you that we will have a safe trip there as we go to do succession planning for January. We trust in you, Father God, knowing that you are in control of the plane. You're in control of the captains. And so, God, we trust you and we will not fear. We will go on and do what you've called us to do. We thank you, Father God, in advance for as we continue to bring the good news to mothers and daughters around the world. We thank you, Father God, that something will be said on this radio today that will be the beginning of change for a mothers and daughter relationship. We thank you, Father God, as we continue to be in obedience. We are looking forward to the new year as we are moving into our second year as a college. And so, God, we thank you for that. We know that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us as to where we are to go next with regards to the lives that will be impacted by this ministry and this school. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for everything that you've done and that you will do and that you continue to do in us and through us. We know that we haven't chosen the task to do, but you've chosen us ever. I pray this as well, and that you've on the radio. Again, healing for Dr. Fletcher in the name of Jesus. And with all of that, we say thank you. Amen.
All right. I decided to maybe take my headsets off, see if I can hear a little better. Might be my ears.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking because you've got the little whatever going on, it might be your ears, ma'am.
Yeah, I can hear you better when I took the headsets off. And actually,
yes, ma'am.
Oh, Lordy. Anyway, you know, I refuse. Nothing will take over this body. It is not going to happen. But I was not going to not do the show this morning. I said, no, that's not happening today. We're going to do it anyway. If I thought about it early enough, I would have called you and had you prepare for something, but we're going to do this. Our topic, well, let's go back up to the top here so I can get everything together. I don't think, let me go look and see if Deborah's on. No, she's not on this. I don't see her number here. So we'll go back this way. I'll come back if she gets on. First, I want to say good morning again. And what I'll do, Cynthia, I'll come right back and pick you up earlier, I'm sure, so that I won't be coughing through this whole thing. So give me a second, and I'll be right back to you, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited, audience. My Florida team is coming up. Co-host Cynthia Oliver, Dr. Jean, they're coming up from Florida. We are going to be spending a week planning, preparing for the ministry, for this wonderful new year of blessings that God is just pouring upon us. It's got to the point now that we no longer can just wing it at saying, okay, this is what told me to say. No, we got to get this strategic plan in order. Things are coming before us, opportunities to actually get involved with other organizations, to have people wanting to actually run the college in their churches. So we got to really plan this thing out so when we do get into these discussions, we'll know what we're talking about and what we can present to them. You know, it's amazing when you have an accredited school, you know, people will start calling you, and I didn't realize this, and said, you know, well, look, we'd like to be able to run that in our school, because it wasn't an easy job to put this college together. You know, sometimes, you know, people, you might just think off the cuff, oh, they, you know, put some courses together. No, it was a labor of love. You know, we had to do each course, and Cynthia did all of the syllabus for Christian psychology, and I did all the syllabus for biblical studies. And it's just not like going and getting a course that someone has and using their course. God had us to design it so it would be appropriate for the people that we were targeting. And yet it still will fit in with the other women that coming through the program. you know, it's just unique. And everybody out there, you know how God works. When the Holy Spirit start working, it'll be different from anything that you've seen. So this integrative approach here of biblical studies and Christian psychology, basically bringing the Word of God and the behavior of humans together and being able to grasp both of them so that you can live the best life you can here on this earth. I mean, it's an awesome, awesome concept. So that's the good news, that God speaks to mothers and daughters around the world. And we're here on the Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie and my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. I'm sitting in the midst of the Hurricane Florence. She's all around us. Last night was the winds and the rain, but Lord knows we cannot complain. It is nothing compared to what I'm seeing on television and hearing, you know, people losing their lives. It's just, and the water is up. It's, we are blessed. So all we can do is pray and ask God to keep his hands on those who are in the top of their attics and on the top of their roofs and just scared to death. You know, your heart go out to them. It's amazing. It's amazing. For the newcomers coming on again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and we are here at the round table talking to mothers and daughters around the world. Our stimulating topic today is mothers, prepare for the blessings. Prepare for the blessings. You know, you may say, well, how do I prepare for the blessings? That's some of the things that we're going to talk about today. You know, when you're hearing different ones speak on the blessings and what you need to do and how it works, and we listen, we take notes. We got books and books and books of notes that we've taken from this pastor, that pastor, the other pastor, and the videos and the audios and TBN and Word Network and was it Impact, and you name it. We watch it. We listen. And then when you get the information, what do you do with it? You know, we usually take those books and put them aside. I got books and books and books and books. Not saying that you don't get it. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But you got to have that focus of, okay, I'm preparing for something. What is the end result? And I realize if you're preparing for Thanksgiving dinner, you write down everything that you're going to have. Basically, you if you don't write it down, you got it in your mind. But most people write it down because they don't want to miss something. And in the kitchen and the grocery store closed, so they'll write down, okay, we're going to have some stuff in the dressing. We're going to have the greens. And let me see. I think, you know, we might have a ham too, and then all the ingredients that it needs to prepare all of that. See, you write it down, but in your mind, you have an end goal. You see a vision of what this is going to look like at the end. And I think sometimes when we are here to prepare for the blessings, we pray, we talk to God, but do you have an end goal? That's why he said without the vision, the people will perish. Because if you can't see what you're praying and studying for, then you'll be doing that forever. You got to have an end goal. You got to see the end results in order for it to manifest. You can't have what you cannot see. But once you see it on your mind, nothing can stop it from manifesting into your reality. Nothing. I don't care if you don't go to church. I don't care if you're doing some of the worst things in the world. When I say I don't care, take it literally now. I don't take it literally, I mean. The reason I'm saying that, because God said it rains on the just and the unjust. You see people out here, you say, well, they're just doing this, that, and the other. And they seem to be so blessed because they had an end result. See, at the end, when it's time to talk to God, now that's when the judgment's going to come. It determines your final destination. But in the meantime, on this earth, see, faith works your belief system. If you believe that in your heart and you don't doubt it, it's going to happen for you. Got nothing to do with whether you're saved, It has nothing to do with whether you doing what. See, being saved is a choice. You decide, I want to be like Christ. I don't want to live this crazy life. I don't want to be like Satan anymore. I want to be like Christ. So you make a choice. But faith is faith. The word of God is the same. It rains on the just and unjust. And sometimes you might say, well, that's not fair. I'm a child of God. It should... No, but God loves us all. So you have to look at it. You can't judge people. We can't say because this person is doing this, that, and the other from what we see that makes him or her a bad person because we don't know their hearts. We don't know the conversations they're having with God. We're not perfect people. That's why we have Jesus. So when I say that, I could just hear, I could just feel in my spirit somebody saying, what is she talking about? You could do this, that. You have to get the whole picture because now you're judging. We can't judge people. We can't say because they look like they're doing something that we don't approve of that makes them wrong. Because you don't know what they're doing. You don't know their private conversations with God. And even with that, we're not perfect people, and we are Christians, and we're still not perfect people. We still make mistakes. That's why we have to constantly come to God and repent. Anybody that says, I'm a Christian and I don't have to repent anymore, I'm fine, I'm good, everything I do is perfect, I would be afraid of that. Really. Because in my world, I believe that's why God sent Jesus, so that we could always come and repent and be forgiven and clean ourselves up and go back out into the world. But as long as you're in the world, you're going to be thrown around, beaten up, challenged, because it's a spiritual warfare. The spirit of God being challenged within you by the spirit of Satan, and you're going to constantly be in a battle. So the good news is that when I say our topic this morning, mothers prepare for the blessings. So I want you to sit back, relax, get your pen and paper and your favorite drink. And I think somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal something to you. For the newcomers coming on, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm your host here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to contact me or ask me a question, you can always reach me at Dr. Bessie 1. That's DrBessie, the number 1, at gmail.com. DrBessie, the number 1, at gmail.com. Last week, our topic was the dynamics of the mother and daughter relationship. This is a series that we are also exploring in the South Florida Times. As a new columnist in the South Florida Times, it's an opportunity to broaden our ministry, and it's amazing. You never know who will see will read the articles because they are so well known as an international newspaper. And, of course, once you're on the Internet, of course, you reach people from anywhere around the world. So God has blessed us. That's one blessing that we receive. And there's so many blessings that, you know, you can't just get on here and start naming blessings. Just to get up this morning was a blessing. So, you know, we can just, I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just saying South Florida Times to be able to, be able to read the articles that we are writing, and we're doing a series of dynamics of a mother and daughter relationship. And it's just going to be an education. I had a young lady tell me yesterday, she said, Dr. Fletcher, I read the article and it is therapeutic. She said, I felt like I was in a session with you, but I could also see, it was like a vision, like I could see within the scopes of what you were saying. And I thought, wow, that's deep. You know, because when I write what the Holy Spirit tells me to write. I feel it myself, but I'm not necessarily knowing how someone else is going to feel it. So when someone reveals something like that to me, I'm like, okay, then they get it because that's the way I felt. So the Lord will always send someone to confirm, you know, because I don't sit here telling you I'm a perfect writer or that's something I ever thought about doing is to write for a newspaper. Never thought about it. That's why the Lord said to me, I told you I would do things far beyond, exceeding your imagination. And I said, well, that exceeded my imagination because I never really thought of that. See, blessings will come, and you will have nothing to do with them if you just relax and allow God to work within you. So our topic this morning, I'm going to get deeper into this, and then I'm going to bring Cynthia back in. And again, I thank you, audience, and I'm asking everybody to just lift up the weather and the families that are going through all this turmoil. We have no answers for it. That's all I can say. We just have to keep praying, and God will watch over us. So in preparing this morning, you know, of course, everybody basically know me. They, you know, that I ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what are we talking about? I like that because then I know it's something he wants to say. And so this morning was mothers prepare for the blessings. And that might, I'm sure that's a message. I know it's a message for me because as I was writing it, I was like, whoa, okay. I see, I learned. I'm the student. I want you all to understand I'm the student. And as I'm being taught by the Holy Spirit, I share my lessons with you on Saturday morning. So never, ever feel that I get up on Saturday morning and I'm trying to preach down to you because that is not where I am. I am the student and I share my lessons. And then Cynthia come on and she'll share what the Holy Spirit has shown her. And then Deborah gets on and she share what the Holy Spirit done to her and whomever. And we're hoping that you would do the same thing, you know? Excuse me. That you would do the same thing. And then when once we share, it's what we call your testimonies. People are blessed from your testimonies. So that's what I do on Saturday morning. This is just a big testimony. So the Holy Spirit said, mothers prepare for the blessings. And then it says, as mothers, we have to prepare our daughters to receive the blessings from God. And those preparations start with us. It starts with us as mothers. We have to have something in order to give it to someone else. You can't give someone something that you don't have. May it be love, even a piece of bread. If someone, your neighbor, came over and knocked on the door and say, you know, I'm just trying to see if you know, if you have any bread, I'd like to have a couple slices of bread. I got some peanut butter, but I don't have no bread. But if you don't have any bread, you can't give her any bread. The first thing you say, I don't have any. I'm so sorry. I don't have any. But if you had the bread, 9 times out of 10, if you're a good person, a good Christian, you would go in and say, hold on a minute, I have some bread. Let me get you a couple of slices. And 9 times out of 10, you give them 4, you know, if you had it to spare. But if you wasn't a good Christian, and when I say Christian, I mean with the love in your heart, you could have it in your house and go back to, you know, tell, nah, I don't have any bread. No, you're lying. And God spoke on that. Don't do that. So we can't give what we don't have. But the big question is, who prepared you, mother, to receive the blessing? And as I was writing this stuff down this morning, I was like, wow, this is deep. Questions started coming up. And the first question was, did your mother teach you the biblical concepts of mind, body, and soul? I want you all to answer these questions. Did your mother teach you that? And if you wasn't raised by your mother, who was the person that raised you as a child? An aunt, grandmother, whoever did put their name there. Did they teach you the concepts of the mind, body, and soul? And when I say concepts, you know, did they teach you that you are a body with a spirit and a soul? And it's connected to the Father. That's you. Some may say, well, Dr. Fletcher, that's kind of deep for a child. No, it's not. Because children are like sponges. Once you could teach a 4-month-old, a 9-month-old, a year old, and if once you start talking it, they hear it. I have a great-grandson, 4 months old, And I'm talking to him about Jesus. I said, he's just talking and looking up in the air. And I'm like, who are you talking to? I said, are you talking to Jesus? And I'm telling you, one day that little boy looked at, just turned his head and looked directly at me like, how did you know? I was kind of scared for a moment there. I was like, wow. I said, do you know Jesus loved you for myself? But they get it. They get it. The next question was, did your mother introduce you to Jesus at an early age? Yes or no? Did your mother take you to church and enroll you in to children's Sunday school? Just yes or no. Keep in mind, mother can be whomever that raised you. Did your mother read the Bible to you and explain who Jesus is? Did your mother clarify the reason for Christmas? And that there is no Santa Claus, per se. Did your mother buy you a children's Bible? Now, those are a lot of questions. Now, ask those questions just to get you to think about your childhood so that you maybe could see how you could make some adjustments in your daughter's life even today, no matter what her age is. You may say, well, no, I wasn't taught, and no, I didn't teach my daughter, because you know why? You didn't know any better. So when we know better, we do better. Now that you know, you have these questions, you cannot be in a position to say, I don't know from this point, if you're listening to this radio program, maybe today, next week, next month, next year, this radio broadcast, we're going to be heard by somebody. It's iCard. So they will hear it. And when you hear it, it's your today. What are you going to do about it? Because we can no longer go around and say, I'm in a position because my mother didn't do this or my daddy didn't do that. That's why I'm where I am today. You can't live off of that. You can't live off of that. There's too many television network. There's too many radio programs. There's too many ministers that if you just turn on the television, you're going to find somebody that's going to come across your path that's going to drop a message. Out of all of what they say, you're going to hear, if nothing but one thing, that will get under your faith storm, and they're going to build you up. It certainly will get you thinking about your granddaughter. You may say, oh, wow, I didn't do it for my children. And they're grown now. I might not be able to get them to sit down and talk about the Bible. But I sure can start with my grandchildren and then come back and start working on my children. Don't let that granddaughter get too far ahead of you. She's right at the age she can hear, put the word in her ear so it would get into her heart. He said faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you put the word of God in that child's heart, that child is going to always hear and believe. It's hard to take something out when they're 2 and 3 years old. So, mothers, we are in a process mode of getting to be the best mother that we can be. None of us are the best mother that we can be. We are in a process. We are right now, today, unveiling, being revealed in some way of growth. We are growing. What you knew yesterday, you are learning something different today. So we're always progressing. So don't beat yourself up and use whatever came up in your heart when I asked those questions, you know, to make the appropriate changes. Because if you felt, as Deborah can say, if you felt some kind of way when you heard the question, then that was tugging on your heart.
you can go back and make those appropriate changes for yourself. I was thinking back when I was writing, I said, I don't remember having a little Bible of my own. I don't remember my mother buying me a Bible just for myself. But I do remember our family Bible, and I do remember that there was always a Bible in the bathroom and was always open to the 23rd Psalm. And my mother, that was her favorite. That was her go-to. You know how we got these go-to Bible verses that elevates our faith. I mean, I don't care what time ago, my mother go in that bathroom, close that door, it's the 23rd Psalm. And I learned the 23rd Psalm as a little girl, because when I went in the bathroom, I would read the 23rd Psalm. I would read the 23rd Psalm. And so when anything came up in my life, even to this day, I go to the 23rd Psalm. I didn't understand all of it, but I knew my mother was reading the 23rd Psalm. It stayed open so that those pages were dark. You know, you know how you just sit and it just open there. Everything else was clean in there, but that 23rd Psalm was that page that was open. And I'm not talking about just a few months. I'm talking about as long as I can remember as a little girl. That was the decoration on the back of the commode back there. It was that Bible, the 23rd Psalm. So she go in there to read that Bible. She started out with that 23rd Psalm, and that's where I picked that up. So even if you're not single-handedly sitting down and saying certain things, be mindful that your daughters, your granddaughters, watch you. They look at you. They are taking in, and you're teaching them in spite of what you think that you're not teaching them. They are learning from you. So where are the blessings? How do you get the blessing? The blessings are in the Word of God. Once you understand the Word of God, that's how you get the blessings. And as I've said over the past 19 years working with mothers and daughters, there's no perfect mother and daughter relationship. Mothers, when you get that, daughters, when you get that, you will be more lenient, more willing forgive a mother or daughter. Because you have to say to yourself, there's no perfect mother and daughter relationship. Okay, so that means what? I'm going to make some mistakes. My mother's going to make some mistakes. And so if I make mistakes and she can forgive me, then I should be able to forgive her. But first of all, Jesus forgave us. If you're Christian, all the stuff that you've done, mothers, come on. We look back over our life. You know, you're thinking that stuff, oh, nobody know I did all of that. You know, but now I'm in the church and I'm holier than thou. And so that's just, yeah, but Jesus know. See, that's the key. Nobody, you know, you may have pulled it over a few people, and most people know, because somebody knows just about everything you've done. There ain't no secrets, really. But Jesus knew, and he still know. So we can't put on a white robe when it comes to presentation before our daughters. And because there's no perfect mother or daughter, that should bring in love. You should love a person and say, you know what? She's not perfect. Daughters, I'm saying this for you. When you look at your mother, you're thinking that they're supposed to be perfect. No, they're not. And if you keep living, I tell them, if you keep living, I heard my great-grandmother said this, if you keep living, you'll see. And as they grow up and have children of their own, they start understanding and start forgiving them their parents and their mother, because if you're, wow, now I understand a little bit better what's going on when you become a parent. Mothers, if you feel that you wasn't properly taught about the Word of God, don't blame your mother at this point. You can't blame her now. You're an adult, got children. Just start today. Start reading the Bible for yourself, and God will reveal all that you need to know, and he will help you through the Holy Spirit to guide you, to reveal to you what you need to know, where to go, what to say. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is an awesome, awesome person. I can't imagine my life without the Holy Spirit. Because that's what I do. I ask a question. Holy Spirit, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should do this? Or Holy Spirit, you know, show me what I'm supposed to get, which one I'm supposed to get. Lead me to the right one. I'm loving it. And I've been doing it all my life. But to now, and when you get to a certain age, it seems like it just, you kind of grow into grace. You know, you just, it's a different feeling, you know. So start where you are now, mothers. Just start reading the Bible. Don't beat yourself up. But I would suggest first that you go to Jesus and apologize and repent for all that you've done and ask him to come live in your heart and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And ask him to give give you the Holy Spirit to live with you. I'm telling you, it's a very simple technique. But if you say it and mean it from your heart, the Holy Spirit will come in, and all of a sudden your life will change. You're not all hyped up. You're not under pressure. You know, you got peace in your life. And once you get that peace and understanding, now go back and get your babies. It's like being on a plane. They tell you if something happened and that mask dropped down, and you have a little child, put the mask on the child first and then put it on yourself. So that's kind of what you have to do. You know, you're the child in essence. If your mother didn't do it, because you have to think about it, was she taught? See, there's got to be a beginning somewhere. If she didn't teach you, 9 times out of 10, she didn't get taught. Because we usually try to follow the trend of our mothers. We deviate some because that's the uniqueness of us. But somewhere along the line, we are trying not to be like our mothers, and we are growing straight into the model of our mothers or grandmothers or whomever raised you, the closest influence. So start there, and then watch your daughter watch you. You don't have to tell her anything different. She will know that you have God in you. I had a young lady say to me, her aunt died. Now, aunt was my friend. And she said, you know, I knew something different happened in her life. She said, because all of a sudden, she started talking about the Lord. And she started talking to me about the Lord, and she was a Christian. She said, and I'm thinking, wow, auntie must have got saved. She said, I knew she was talking about the Holy Spirit. I've known her all my life, never heard that. I knew she had changed. You see, she didn't have to tell her. But it was the way she was talking. It was the way she was acting. She knew she had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And once you do that, now you can go in and get the blessing because you have prepared yourself, mother, for the blessing. And now you can share the blessing with your daughter. Because God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He's never going to change. He's just waiting on you. That old cliche about you waiting on God, come on. How dare you think that you're big enough to even think such a thing, that you're waiting on the Almighty God? Are you serious? God's waiting on you. That's how you prepare for the blessing. You start by reading his word. And then he says, I will bless you, your children, and your children's children. And mothers, if we don't prepare for the blessing, our children will miss out. And I think, in my heart, in my opinion, I believe that we are going to be held accountable for not seeking God and seeking the blessings and preparing ourselves so that we could have those blessings drip on us and down on our children and our children's children. You decide. Good morning, Seth. There again.
Good morning again. Dr. Fletcher, if our audience take wise counsel, it leads us to Isaiah 11:2, where it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's how you get the blessing. We are ignorant to these things if, first of all, if we have not accepted Christ. And in the absence of Christ, we'll do anything, we'll say anything, we'll go anywhere. And so when you're talking about the blessings, we can't receive the blessings unless we receive the blessed. And the blessing is in Christ Jesus. Of all the things, and growing up, my grandmother and my grandfather, they couldn't even read and write. So, but I do remember my granny used to make certain quotes as it relates to the Bible. I've never heard her use scripture, but I knew my grandmother was a woman that feared God. And she would always make sure that we went to church. But I don't ever, very few times I can recall that my grandmother went to church, but she used to send us to church with our neighbors. And so the seed was planted as it relates to that for me. I always went to church my entire adult life. But you know what? I was playing church for a very long time. It wasn't until I was 31 that I accepted Christ. I didn't know anything about Christ prior to being 31. I knew God. I always reverenced God, but I didn't know Christ. And I don't even remember hearing anyone preach Christ as I grew up. It was always the focus was on God, and they left that part out. And that is so paramount if we are going to receive the blessings of God, because he said all things was made for him and through him. And so if we are not connecting to him, because he is the branch, we are the he is the tree, and we are the branches are connected to him by our faith in him, or believing in him, if you will. And so when we don't have the wisdom of Christ, when we don't have the understanding and the counsel and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, and because we don't have the strength to stand against the wiles of the enemy in the absence of Christ. And that comes, now it comes, if we do not seek the word, we're not going to be knowledgeable of the tricks of the enemy. And that's how he trips us up all the time, because we simply do not take the time to seek the word of God, and we do not fear God. I'll never forget this young lady who said to me, if you really fear God, you wouldn't say anything, and you wouldn't just do anything. So you really don't fear God if you will step outside of doing what he has commanded us to do. All of these things prepare us. Obedience prepares for the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
In the absence of Christ, we will not, we will miss it. We will miss it. And I ain't trying to miss it. I don't know about nobody else, but I ain't trying to miss it. Because this life is so interesting in the when you are going through. And when you don't have God, when you don't have Christ, he's our strength. And it's when we, and you mentioned testimony, Dr. Fletcher. It is, according to scripture, it is the blood of Christ that we overcome with our testimony. Mothers, you all have a testimony. That in itself can be one way to prepare your daughter for this thing, to receive the blessing. Because we overcome by sharing our testimony. And, of course, accepting Christ, because that's the blood.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
And go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought she was.
No. I was done. All I was going to say it is just when we get in the habit of doing these things, we are literally being watchful over our families. And you know, God said in scripture about us as mothers, when we're saved, our whole household is saved. But your daughter gonna have to. Like God told me about my son, I can believe with him, but I can't believe for him at a certain age. He's responsible for his own salvation. And mothers, if we're not teaching our daughters that they're responsible for their own salvation, and it's important that they seek for themselves, then we set them up to not receive the blessings of God. Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, I was, when you were talking, I was thinking about something I told mothers. I don't know if I was at a mother and daughter convention or workshop, but I remember saying that, and I say it quite often, so I don't know why I'm trying to pinpoint it. Mothers, you need to take off the white robe. See, once you put that white robe on, then that's all you see. You forget about the time when you didn't wear the white robe. When you were out there doing your thing, when nobody couldn't tell you nothing, when you wouldn't listen, you know, you go do it your way, and then you have your children. And then when they, now you got on the white robe, and then now you want them to listen to every word that you say, and you forget, you didn't listen. That was a part of your testimony. That's why you so busy trying to give the daughter a hard time, because you know what's going to happen if she doesn't do certain things. But when we do mother and daughter workshops, people say, why are you so hard on the mother? Because the mother is responsible for the daughter. I don't care if the mother's 80 and the daughter is 60. She's still mother. But I have them stand up and do the eye contact thing. But I also have that mother to apologize. And Cynthia, you've experienced it, and a lot of you in the audience out here have experienced it. It's nothing like when that mother apologized to her daughter. It's something that breaks. And there's not a dry eye in the room. Because what happened is that the mother is saying, she's releasing. She's revealing, I'm not a perfect woman. But when you keep saying, do this, do that, you're putting yourself on a pedestal as if. But if you can share, like I did with my daughter, I said, when her and her husband was going through, And it looked like the devil was just going to break up that home. Oh, he was in there with everything he had. I left Florida, and I was there for 4 weeks. I left my business, everything, and I came and stayed in that house. I anointed that house, and when they went to work, I anointed my son-in-law's shoes, the pillows, the clothes, everything in their bathroom, my daughter. I anointed the doorknobs, and I prayed, and I ran Satan out of that house. You are a liar. But I also set my daughter down and told her, you know, we were raised to be very strong women. My mother was the matriarch of the family. She was the baby, but everybody had to come and ask her opinion. And they would move on that. Cousins would come from it. I don't know why, but she was just the one. And I was raised to be that powerful, powerful woman. She was raised with her grandmother every summer, spending every summer, every holiday with her grandmother and her granddaddy. And she was raised, mother ran the house. Daddy, you know, mother prepared everything like most women. And my mother was instilling us, this is what you need to do. Always keep some money to yourself. Always know that you can do this, that, and that. Okay. So I saw that. So I was running my household the same way. Not actually allowing my husband to be the husband because I was trained in a certain way. It was military. It was, you know, and I saw my daughter the same way. And I set it down. I said, you know what? This needs to stop. You know, that was a behavior. But we, you know, I said, I don't want you to have the 30-year divorce. I had to look at it in order to save my daughter and her marriage. I had to have that conversation. Because I could have easily said to her, oh, it's so easy. Just, you know, go ahead and move on and get another life. I know you got a good husband. You all are going through whatever this attack is now. He's a minister. You all are minister over youth ministry. Now that the pastor passed and he's going through and the devil trying to tell y'all, you know, all kind of stuff. No, you're not going to have the 30-year marriage, the divorce. I'm sorry. I'm going to share with you the mistakes that I made. And I'm going to give you my mistakes, and then you take those and process them. I'm telling you, it made all the difference in the world. I talked to my son-in-law. He's my son. Wonderful young man. They've been married, what, 27 years. But they have a better chance at getting the 30 now.
Hey, I'll go downstairs.
Than they did at that time.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, Cynthia, we're on the air. And so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And so with that, we have to learn to, let me beep you up. We have to learn to share our experiences and to be real and honest. You know, either if, you know, if we hide it, then they won't be able to learn. But when they, she could see, I made some mistakes, and I told her these are the mistakes I made, and if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't do it quite this way. I said, allow your husband to be the husband. You come in the house. I'm just saying this is the way we do sometimes, mothers out here. We come in the house. The husband moved the chair because he thought the chair would look better, you know, from this angle at the television. And you come in, who moved the chair? He said, I moved the chair. Well, why did you move the chair? Because I thought it felt better. So you better put that chair back. Now, you're not paying all the bills. You're not paying all the house payments, buying the groceries, but you won't allow him to move a chair? Because what, we are raised that way. Don't put anything on the dresser. Move this off the coffee table. What you doing with this over here? Da-da-da-da-da. And then that's why men say, okay, well, you know what? I can't get no peace here. I just go on out. Or now they got it where they want the man cave. So what's that doing? Separation in family. Because he can't live and be in that space. And why am I saying all that? Take off the white robe. Let your daughter know you're vulnerable. Let her know that you made some mistakes. Because how many times as a Christian clinical psychologist I've sit there and had young ladies say to me, she just acts so perfect. She acts like she never made a mistake. You know, because see now, you feel I'm saved and I'm this, and that's fine. That's why you need to tell them, because you're saved. You wasn't always saved. Because if he's always saved, you'd have been born. You're born in salvation, but you come into the world, and the world is sinful, so you had to go back to be saved. Well, your daughter's got to go back and be saved. I don't know why I'm going on this topic, but this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. So we have got to stop wearing the white robe. Let them know. Cry together. Apologize. You know what? Because most of the times when you're hard on your daughters, it's simply because it's something that you have not settled in your own spirit. You have an imperfection in your own spirit, and you have not forgiven yourself for some of the things that you've done. And you got to get yourself settled. And when you get clear, and your heart is clear, that's why David said, give me a clear heart. I pray every day, Lord, give me a clear heart. Because if you got evil in there, you're never going to see the good because you got evil in your heart. So I'm going to go back to Cynthia. Anybody want to comment on that? Audience, you can click one. Cynthia? I don't know if Cynthia's there. But what I wanted to say.
Got me on mute. I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead. Anything else you want to add to that?
The things that I hear you saying, Dr. Fletcher, is that, you know, a daughter, when a mother has been absent, rather, is emotionally or physically, that apology, that daughter's been waiting on that apology her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not get it, daughters. Let me just tell you from a daughter, even if she has a conversation with you surrounding the whole circumstances and those words never come out of her mouth, if she's willing to talk about her experience, her testimony, that's her way of apologizing. Because one of the greatest issues with flesh, if I apologize, that means I did something wrong. And nobody likes to think that they did something wrong. For me, my mother never came out of her mouth and said, I'm sorry. At least I don't remember it. But I do remember having the conversation with my mother that gave me her testimony of what happened as to why she didn't raise me. For me, that was the apology because I needed answers. You may never get those words, daughter, but it was those words. In Revelation 3:6, it says this, he that has an ear, let him hear. And the Spirit said it unto the church, and we are the church. I needed to be open to hear what those words that came out of my mother's mouth. And then I get to choose whether I want to accept them and believe them. And if it's a lie, it's her lie. Now I got a choice as a daughter to get off my high horse, take off my white robe, and accept my mother's apology, if you will, and start the healing process. That was my choice. I have three other siblings that made that choice not to believe what my mother said. When I shared it with them, they said it was a lie. Because, see, we take sides, and also we make up in our minds how this thing went down based on what we've heard over the years. So when you decide that you're going to be open to the Spirit and the Spirit of truth will let you know what's coming forth, you can accept it just like you can accept Christ or deny him. I could have denied what my mother said to me. But I simply chose to believe her testimony because she was there. I was just circumstance. She lived it. And I took that challenge that Dr. Fetcher gave me. Go talk to your mother. And she even told me that I cannot volunteer in this organization unless I had a relationship with my mother because she said it made me a hypocrite. And of course, I was taken back by that, and I didn't want to do it. But I am so glad that I did because of what I did. I had a chance to have the last 2 years of my mother's life getting to know who she was. And God redeemed the time. I was taken from my mother when I was 17 months old, audience. 17 months. And I got to lay in bed the last 6 months of my mother's life with her, holding her hands, cuddling with her. Because the issue, if you don't do it now, guys, you don't know where you are on the continuum of life. You don't know who's going to check out first. And I promise you, you do not want them to roll your mother by you and you have those unanswered questions. So I implore you mothers. I implore you daughters. It's not that serious. Take off the right road and find forgiveness for people because you too have erred. That's my take on it, Dr. Fletcher. I know that my life is better today because I got those answers. I took your advice and I went and got the answers that I needed from my mother.
And I'm glad you took it, too. I'm glad you did because, see, you have peace now. I tell people, once you mess around and your mother is gone or your daughter is gone, then it's just you may look like you're doing fine, but you're going to be dealing with those things internally. You're going to have those intro conversations that's going to just wear you down because the Lord says, And he says, don't go to bed, you know, with art. You can't, and art in your heart, you can't. You know how? See, people, we want to be Christians. What does that mean? It means to be like Jesus. Would Jesus be like you being right now? Just ask yourself that. That'll ask you right there. Boom. Would Jesus be like you being? Then we got a lot of work to do. That's all of us. We say, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. Okay, just start with love. You start with love, that's going to jump, boom, that's going to shoot you right on up there. The message is the white robe. Take it off.
Even Jesus said, Cynthia, why does thou call me good? He didn't want you to call him good. When the only good person is the Father. So, audience, I hope you get this morning. I hope you enjoy this. I hope this touched your heart. Cynthia, I'm so proud of you. I'm glad you took that advice. Lord knows she wasn't happy about it, but she went. And I met her mother, and I'll tell anybody, you know, her mother, she looks just like her mother. I mean, spit twins. And her mother was a happy mother. She left here with a smile on her face, but she got a baby back. And, you know, and I'm sure she had some reservations about her other children. But we can only get what you do. So that's, you have to find it for yourself. You can't say because the rest of them not doing it, I'm not going to do it, or what somebody say. You got to go and go to Jesus for yourself. Adopt the spirit of Jesus. And when you adopt the spirit of Jesus, you can look over fault. You have to. I have to do it. You'll have to do it if we want to be like Jesus. All right, I'll be right back.
Yes, ma'am.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's our show. I just want to say thank you so very much. The Holy Spirit has spoken. Let's see if we can move accordingly. Have a blessed week. Cynthia, thank you. I pray that you all have a safe flight today. I'll be at the airport to pick you all up. I am excited.
Me too. Okay, love you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, audience.
On November 6th, let's raise our voices louder than ever. With our vote, our lives depend on it.
For our rights as Americans.
For more jobs and better wages.
Healthcare that truly cares for our families.
Police that respect us as individuals and place value on our lives.
Judges who uphold the law, respect our civil and human rights. The best way to speak up is to step up and vote.
On November 6th, vote for our freedoms, our protections, our truth.
Our lives depend on it.
Paid for by NAACP, NAACP.org.
On November 6th, let's raise our voices louder than ever. With our vote, our lives depend on it.
For our rights as Americans.
For more jobs and better wages.
Healthcare that truly cares for our families.
Police that respect us as individuals and place value on our lives.
Judges who uphold the law, respect our civil and human rights. The best way to speak up is to step up and vote.
On November 6th, vote for our freedoms, our protections, our truth.
Our lives depend on it.
Paid for by NAACP, NAACP.org.